Think about the last time you were truly seen at work. And I don't mean noticed for wearing a new tie or for having a clean whiteboard, but actually seen for the intricate, invisible, and often exhausting labor that you do every single day. Now, compare that feeling to the feeling of an evaluation notification hitting your inbox. For most of us, a little ping doesn't feel like an invitation to be seen. It feels like an invitation to be judged. We tend to treat evaluations like a deposition, a 45-minute snapshot where we feel that we have to prove we aren't failing. But what if we've been looking through the lens all wrong? What if the evaluation isn't a hurdle to jump, but a professional autopsy of what actually works in your classroom? Today, we are tearing up the compliance script and finding the craft underneath.
From the AWB Studios, this is your weekly morning boost, brought to you by AWB Education. We are proud to be featured on the Forward Ed Network, advancing voices, shaping education. Let's get ready to boost your week.
Good morning, boosters. Welcome back to your morning boost here on the Forward Ed Network. I hope your coffee is exactly the temperature that you need it to be and that maybe your first parents are, well, at the very least, mostly awake. If you are a longtime listener, you know that we don't do toxic positivity here. We do know what month it is. It's April. And in the world of education, April is the month of the, well, double squeeze. You're squeezed by the pressure of upcoming state testing or maybe just got through state testing. That's on one side, and the administrative requirement of those final evaluations is on the other. I've been on both sides of that mahogany desk. I've sat there as a teacher, heart racing, wondering if my principal noticed that one kid in the back who was off task for exactly 4 minutes during that observation. And I've also sat there as the leader with 42 separate evaluations to try to get written up, and I'm feeling that crushing weight of trying to give meaningful feedback while the clock is ticking towards my district deadline. That is why we're talking about the purposeful pivot here. How we move from surviving evaluation season to using it as a tool for our own growth. So let's start with the teacher side of the desk and the stress of the evidence requirement. You know the drill. The portal opens, you see 30 different indicators, and you realize that you have to prove you've met standard 4B or standard 2A, and suddenly you're scrolling through 3 months of sent emails at 11 p.m., and you're trying to find that one thread where you helped a teammate. It feels like you're a defendant in a trial, but here's the shift. Your evaluation should be a portfolio of your impact, not a scavenger hunt for your survival. When we wait until the end of the year to find evidence, we aren't reflecting, we're reacting. So take a second and think about the best thing that happened in your classroom last Tuesday. Maybe it was a student who finally raised their hand, or a group of kids who solved a conflict without you having to step in. If you didn't write it down, does the system think it happened? I mean, we know it did. The students know it did. But the machine won't. They won't know, unless you name it. Consider the story of Sarah, a veteran teacher that I coached a couple years ago. She was brilliant, but she hated the bragging part of evaluations. She felt documenting wins was performative. So I challenged her to stop thinking about it as bragging and to start thinking about it as archiving. She started what she called the digital shoebox. I thought this was a genius idea. Every time a parent sent a thank you email or a student sent a great email, she just dragged it over into a folder. Every time a student wrote a reflection that showed a breakthrough, she snapped a quick photo and put it in the folder. By April, she wasn't hunting. She walked into her meeting and said, "I'd like to show you 3 moments where my instruction moved the needle this month." She didn't just meet the standard. Heck, she defined it. In a previous episode, I talked to you about a teacher named Marcus. Middle school teacher, classroom was always high energy and, well, frankly, kind of loud. To an outside observer that was walking in for 10 minutes, it probably looked like chaos. Marcus knew that if a principal walked in during a collaborative task, they might miss the respect that's happening within the noise. So he started a narrative log. Every Friday, he wrote 3 sentences about one specific interaction, like how 2 students resolved a disagreement using a classroom prompt. When his principal noted classroom volume as a concern, Marcus didn't get defensive. He just pulled up his log and he showed that the noise was actually documented. It was respectful discourse. He turned a potential area for growth, frankly, turned it into a strength by providing the context that a 45-minute snapshot just simply can't capture. To make this work for you, try the Friday 5 routine. Set a recurring alarm for 2:45 or whatever time works in your Friday afternoon schedule. Spend exactly 5 minutes dropping two links, screenshots, or sentences that are into a dedicated folder. By the time the evaluation season peaks, you're going to have 60-plus pieces of evidence that are ready to go. And just remember, though, to narrate the invisible. In your self-reflection, don't just list what you did, list why you did it. Instead of saying, I use small groups, instead say, I grouped these three students together because I noticed a gap in their understanding. Maybe it was of ratios last week or something, and I used that exit ticket to define the groups that I needed. That's the high-level expertise an evaluator just misses when they only see the what.
This segment of your Morning Boost is sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services. Since 2013, GLS has been a trusted partner for school districts across the Midwest, specializing in executive recruitment and leadership support. They believe that great schools start with great leaders, and they are here to help you find a perfect fit for your district. Transform your school's future with the right leader at the helm. Visit GrundmeierLeaderSearch.com to learn more. Grundmeier Leader Services, transforming education one leader at a time.
As we move from the teacher's perspective to the leader's lens, it is important to acknowledge that the double squeeze is just as real for our principals. If you are a leader listening to this, you are likely underwater right now. I mean, it's April. It's the way it is for all of us. You probably have a stack of standardized feedback forms that feel like they were written by a robot, and you're trying to find the humanity within those checkboxes. The perspective shift here is simple, but honestly, it's profound. Feedback delayed is feedback denied. If you observe a teacher on Tuesday and they don't get the report until the following Wednesday, the growth moment, it's evaporated. It's moved from a conversation about craft to a notification about compliance. We have to break that cycle if we want evaluations to actually improve instruction. So this brings me to a practice that I call the anchor point method. In some buildings, we see leaders who have a physical space, like a focus table in the lounge, where positive notes are left. But during an evaluation, I recommend taking that concept mobile. I worked with a principal a few years ago who practiced what he called the immediate impact note. He carried a stack of simple, bright cards. And if he couldn't get the full evaluation typed by the end of the day, he left an immediate impact note on the teacher's desk before he left the building. Something like, I saw how you handled the transition in that second group. Or that master class level scaffolding was just amazing. That 10-second move lowers the teacher's cortisol levels for the next 24 hours. It turns the evaluator back into a partner. Now, beyond the note, there's the voice-to-text draft. As you walk out of the classroom, record a 60-second voice memo of the top three things that you saw. Don't wait until you're at your desk or until the end of the day when all the observations start to blur together. Capture the energy of the room immediately. This allows your final written feedback to feel specific and lived in rather than just generic. When you finally sit down at the formal meeting, start with a question rather than a statement. Ask, what was the one thing that you were most proud of during that lesson? This forces the evaluation to center on the teacher's agency and self-perception, not just our checklist.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lisa Hill, a longtime educator of nearly 40 years as a teacher, counselor, professor, and vice principal, and I've seen just about everything public schools can throw at you. And now I'm sharing my tales on my comedy podcast, Vice Principal Unofficed. It's where school leadership meets laugh-out-loud stories, from underwear-required parent-teacher conferences, yes, really, to staff lounge confessions and more you won't believe. I'm telling it all with humor and a whole lot of heart. I also tackle the serious stuff too, like what schools really need to change and those behind-the-scenes moments no one talks about. So if you're ready to laugh, learn, and maybe even cry a little, but mostly laugh, join me and my 90-year-old mom, my unofficial co-host, on Vice Principal Unofficed. New episodes drop bi-weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Trust me, this is one detention you'll actually look forward to.
Moving deeper into the actual conversation here, we have to talk about the part that everyone dreads, and that's the areas of growth section. This is where the superhero trap kicks in. We feel like if we aren't marked as highly effective in every single category, we are somehow failing our students. And we take it personally because our work is personal. But research from the Learning Policy Institute shows that the most stable, high-achieving schools aren't the ones with the perfect teachers. They're the ones where teachers feel safe enough to be in progress. The evaluation shouldn't be a ceiling. It should be a floor for us to stand on while we reach for the next level. I once had an evaluation where my principal told me that my student-led discourse was weak. My gut reaction was to explain why. Oh, you know, the kids were tired, the text was hard, the moon was full. I mean, all of the other things that came around to just try to be a justification for every deficit. But I caught myself. Instead of defending the why, I asked for the how. I said, if you were me, what's the first small shift that you would make to get them talking? That question changed the entire dynamic of our conversation. It moved the growth area from a permanent mark on my record to a coaching session that happened in real time. It allowed my principal to stop being a judge and start being a coach. So teachers, if your evaluator gives you a vague improve engagement comment or something like that, don't just nod and leave. Ask for a specific model. Say, you know, can I go see Ms. Miller's room or somebody that I know during her discourse block next week? This shows that you're taking ownership of the feedback. And leaders, if you can facilitate this by framing the growth area as a level up move rather than a fix it move, language matters here. Instead of saying your transitions are slow, try saying, hey, you've mastered the content delivery. Now let's look at the student-to-student feedback loops to increase the pace. This preserves the teacher's dignity while still pushing for excellence. As we look towards the bigger picture, we have to realize that how we handle evaluations says everything about our school culture. If evaluations are a secret process that happens behind closed doors, they are going to breed suspicion. But if they are transparent, maybe a transparent part of how we talk about our craft, then we build trust. Think about the school-wide routines that you can implement to take the pressure off. Some buildings use peer walkthroughs where teachers visit each other's rooms for 5 minutes just to leave a positive glow note. This desensitizes everyone to the act of being observed. When an adult walks into the room, it stops being a red alert moment and starts being a community moment. If you're on a leadership team, consider how you can share the wins that you see during evaluation system, anonymously, of course, in your weekly staff memo, or maybe with your other administrators if you're in a larger district. This week, I saw 3 different ways teachers are using exit tickets to pivot their instruction. This turns individual evaluations into collective professional development and reminds everyone that we are all working the same puzzle, just maybe from different angles. It moves the needle from what did I get on my evaluation to what are we learning as a team. As you head into the rest of your week, maybe even heading into an observation later today or sitting down to type up a report by the end of the week, I want you to hold on to one thought. You are more than a score on a rubric. We live in a system that loves to measure, loves to categorize, and loves to rank. And sometimes those measurements are necessary for the machine of the school to run. But the machine is not the mission. The mission is the human being in front of you. Whether that is the student in the third row or the colleague across the hall, the human connection is what actually changes lives. The most important thing that you did this year probably won't even show up on your evaluation. And there's no box to check for stayed late to listen to a student whose parents are divorcing. There is no standard 5.1 for managing to keep your cool when the copier jammed for the 3rd time in a row during a lesson that you spent 4 hours planning. There's no metric for the way that you look at a student and make them feel like they are the smartest person in the room. But just because it isn't measured doesn't mean it isn't real. Those are the invisible wins that build the foundation of a great school. If you are a leader, use these next few weeks to tell your people what the rubric misses. Tell them about the quiet expertise that you see in the hallways. Tell them that you see their heart, not just their data. And if you're a teacher, remember that you are the expert of your own classroom. Use the evaluation to tell your story, claim your wins, and to be honest about your journey. Use it to advocate for the resources you need and the growth you want. But more importantly, just take a breath. It's just a season. It's a busy one, and it's a loud one, but you are steady. You are building something that lasts far longer than a one-year rating. You're building the future one conversation at a time. Thanks for being part of the work, and thank you for spending your time with us today on Your Morning Boost. We appreciate everything that you do for your students and your community, and we'll be back again with you next week.
That concludes another episode of Your Morning Boost, an AWB education production. To find more incredible content, be sure to check out other amazing education shows on the Forward Ed Network, where they are truly advancing voices and shaping education. Join us again next week. Until then, keep boosting your impact.
You're doing incredible work in your classroom and community. Isn't it time the world heard about it? Welcome to The Commons, a dedicated podcast channel on the Forward Ed Network, built specifically for educational professionals like you. We provide the platform at no cost. You bring the ideas and the passion. We provide the reach to share them with the field. Ready to start your broadcast? Ready to share your knowledge with others? Email us at admin@forwardednetwork.com and join the conversation today.